Thank you very much. And I must say that it's really encouraging to see that we've had obviously the minister, we've had the leader of a kind of sector-wide body, and now we've got a leader from an individual institution. And there's an awful lot of commonality in what we're saying, which speaks to the potential strengths of our collaborations over the next few years. So anyway, thank you very much indeed for the invitation to speak this evening. Sometimes I'm known in my institution at the moment as PVC pandemic. So I guess what I'm going to do is just kind of give you a kind of a Nottingham flavour of many of the things that my panel colleagues have been saying. But I want to start actually with just a slight challenge back on the title of the event, because there's been two versions circulating out there. So we've got online teaching in higher education. There's also been online and blended teaching out there in higher education. And actually the minister also talked about remote learning, which is a word that's been commonly used this year, but it's a slightly odd one, isn't it? Because it just sounds so unfriendly. So I think there's still a bit of confusion amongst us all about exactly what are we trying to do. And actually, I can also remember back in the summer that Advance HE and published, I think it was a 13-page report on our lexicon for digitally enabled teaching and learning. So there's a level of confusion that we're generating, I think, in ourselves, in our students, and we'll also be confusing some of our parents and creating a bit of a distraction from the real job that obviously that we're trying to do to ensure that students can meet their learning outcomes. And I would say that obviously the media pick up on that confusion. And so we end up with this bit of political polarization between face-to-face and in-person teaching and the online. And somehow online gets positioned as the second class, the easy and the cheap. So the kind of first point I really wanted to make was that we absolutely need to be clear what we're talking about and make sure that our debate and our discussion are in the right space as well as in the right place. So what I want to talk about is kind of blended learning. And for me, that's about a purposeful pedagogy. So clearly pedagogy that's fit for purpose, a pedagogy that makes choices and is designed to support student learning. And of course, that means designing in well-being, mental health and motivation, all those essential ingredients for learning as well as for life. So blended learning has a really strong focus upon design. Paul was talking about that, task differentiated practice, personalization, engagement, complementarity. But most importantly, it's not hierarchical. It's not judging one practice, technology or tool to be better than another. It's defining the right tools for the task. And of course, the tasks are the knowledge acquisition, the inquiry and the research, the discussion, the collaboration, the practice and the production, kind of adapted for the phase of the student journey, first year, third year, postgraduate, and of course for the discipline. My second point is to just say that obviously learning and change are the DNA of universities. That is what we are all about. So in no sense are we dinosaurs clinging to the sage on the stage model of transmission. We've been using virtual learning environments since the 1990s. Yes, principally for the management of our teaching, but increasingly to support the delivery of teaching. And it's back in the 1990s that the concept of blended learning actually emerged. And so the technologies that we use, yes, they change over time. We adapt them, we develop them in context and in partnership. And many of our digital tools have emerged as responses to the massification of higher education in the 1990s. So they were a response to scale. Now, one of the reasons, again, as Lord Willett said, that I was invited to this event is because of my earlier work with MOOCs and with FutureLearn. So just dipping back into those for a moment, the MOOC movement, the massive open online courses, begins in 2008 in North America. They were heralded as a great disruptor, weren't they? Some of you remember the headlines, the potential end of the university as we know it, the great redundancy of university lecturers. The disruption wasn't in the market. Instead, they caused a ripple in our pedagogies, and we took that learning into our mainstream. We started flipping more, we started scaffolding more, we developed our skills as facilitators of learning. And the MOOCs taught us the power of video, although principally of audio rather than video. And they taught us about the importance of online socialization, the difference between comment and discussion in a virtual forum. Now, as higher education professionals, our skills of learners has helped us significantly in 2020, where our biggest challenge has been pace. Again, that's a word that the minister used. And it continues to be difficult to find the time to reflect on our learning. So we're always on a journey. We don't stand still. But this year, we've been sprinting rather than jogging. And just to take that metaphor a bit further, of course, if you're sprinting, it's really difficult to look backwards. If you're jogging, you can have a conversation as you go. You can plan, you can do, you can check, and you can act, and then you can start the cycle all over again. In 2020, pace has also been really challenging for our students. And ironically, in contrast to some of the media positioning, our students have been telling us that they feel that they've got more work to do than normal. They have felt overworked. And there's some of the reasons around that is that there's no excuse for missing a lecture if your lectures are online and if they've been pre-recorded. And there is every temptation to rewind your bite-sized videos and ensure that you extract every ounce of goodness from them. Now, there may be an element of staff overcompensating for COVID disruption, but again, as Paul said, it's really clear that our students need more help with learning how to learn in a blended environment. They need help with their time management, their pacing again, adapting to that revised diet of coursework and exams. And they've also had that cognitive overload from switching from the face-to-face in-person teaching to the synchronous online to the asynchronous online. Now, all of this is challenging for them, and it's not easily captured in their timetable or their schedule. So what most universities are doing is we are hurriedly building our systems to track engagement as opposed to attendance. And until we've got these systems, we will be worrying about those students who may fall down the cracks and kind of lose their ability to keep up with their peers. But I must absolutely stress that the students of 2020, they are no lost generation. You know, they are a remarkable generation who've experienced rapid personal and professional growth. And I do hope that employers will be recognizing that. And that really leads me to my kind of third big point, again, which also chimes with my panel colleagues this evening. We're all in this together. So in 2020, university staff have demonstrated their abilities to work together across disciplines and job families in the interests of our students and with our students. And our focus has absolutely been on collaboration, partnership, support, empathy, engagement, evaluation. From a student perspective, we can now see where the glue is missing. Our students need space and time to become social learners again. They need to engage with their content, with their tutors, but also with their peers. That's what's most lacking as we head towards the end of the first semester in 2020-21. For first years in particular, they're struggling to find their study buddies, their learning sets. They need a digital equivalent of going for a coffee at the end of the lecture. They need to take that example of the woman's hour story that Paul referred to. And we've got to help them to build those academic social relationships so that they can ask questions in their online sessions again and get rid of that burden of the imposter syndrome that so many of them will probably be feeling. And one of my engineering colleagues made a very relevant observation to me yesterday. He said that pre-COVID, by this time in the academic year, he would have known the names and the faces of about 75% of the new first years in his cohort. This year, at the same time, he reckons he knows the names and faces of only about 10%. So social learning is being compromised for everyone at the moment. And you know, it's quite a challenge to demonstrate your passion for your subject to a screen of avatars or to your own slides. You know, takes a bit of doing. We can manage it for 10 minutes, but if you're doing it for a couple of hours, that's quite exhausting. So we know that digital poverty is affecting many of our students. Let's also not forget that it's affecting our staff too. So we've got to build capability, capacity, confidence, so that our community can absolutely benefit from those purposeful pedagogies delivered through our blended learning in a really supportive environment that's got well-being designed into it, so at its heart. And the "we're all in it together" mantra, of course, includes the sector bodies, the professional membership groups, the PSRBs, the graduate employers, and of course, government. And as we move through COVID and beyond, we want a partnership approach so that UK higher education can remain world leading and student centric. Our approaches to evaluation, to monitoring, to regulation obviously need to be fit for purpose in these changed contexts. The review of the National Student Satisfaction Survey, the NSS, is a great opportunity to signal this, giving us a chance to really think through the purpose of the survey and our ability to use it to drive student engagement and quality enhancement. So finally, a time of crisis is always a time of accelerated learning. We see this in the role that UK higher education is playing in the development of tests, treatments, vaccines for COVID-19. We see it in our accelerated uptake of blended learning in 2020. Universities are not longing or seeking to head back to some misrepresentation of a pre-COVID age of teaching. We will absolutely stick to our continuous enhancement journey, but both students and staff need to get back that bit of serendipity and happenstance into our working and our studying lives. We've got to get the social learning back into the blend. Now, there are a few nifty slogans that I could end on. The future is blended. 2020 is the new 2030. It's the end of the lecture as we know it. But actually, I don't think much can beat that expression of John Dewey's, the American philosopher and an educationalist who died in 1952. So it's an old one, and sometimes the old ones are the good ones. If we teach today as we taught yesterday, absolutely we'll be robbing our children of tomorrow. So that's me. Thank you very much.